Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 171, The Conclusion. This is part two, Made Willing. Today is Sunday, October 31st, 2010. Happy Halloween! Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota and located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you live anywhere in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. Also, join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog. There you're going to find scripture links within the messages. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's weekly podcast. For the month of October, these are the following messages: God's peace, wonderful peace; Jesus trusted in God to deliver, can we; live life earnestly; sow in the wind, reap under clouds; and made willing. So have a great month of October. We'll see you back here every week, both Friday and Sunday. God bless you.
And now we come to the disposition. God's people, the disposition is, God's people are a willing people. God's elect, by His grace, are made willing to receive Jesus Christ in the beginning as Savior. He makes men willing. When you were saved, who do you suppose made you willing to get saved? Now, I've heard a lot of preachers, and they'll preach like this, and they'll say, okay, before you can get saved, you have to repent. That's true. But you do not repent on your own. God is a spirit, and God's spirit gives you the spirit of repentance. Now, remember, salvation is of the Lord. You don't repent all on your own. How did you get saved? I repented and came to Jesus. No, God. Don't take credit for anything. God gave you the spirit of repentance, and the Holy Spirit drew you in, and you were saved by the power of God. God made you willing. Now, you can listen to all the legal preachers you want to, and they can put that great big old skinny long yellow fingernail out there and say, repent! That ain't going to make people repent. No. 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 They have to be made willing by the power of God and by the Holy Ghost. And you read these tracts, and it has a great big circle, and it shows people laying sideways and standing on their head in this great big fiery pit. And right at the top it says, repent! That's true. But what makes them repent? What makes, see, willing, I'm talking about repentance now. Repentance, now the Lord repented. You didn't repent. God repented. And God gives you the spirit of repentance. And then you just get just enough of that so that you get saved. And after you get saved, then you really have to repent because God shows you your nasty self. Say amen, somebody. Now, two things can happen. You can get super righteous and stiff and rigorous and say, I am going to be willing to do the will of God. And you can put a bowl on your head and cut your hair and put on some corny old clothes. And women, they can put on, you know, sackcloth and all this kind of thing and just act out the part and put a bun in the back of the head, jump in a flour barrel and all this kind of thing. Ain't going to do them no good. How many are hearing this? God is going to make people willing. Hallelujah. Ooh, has God made you willing lately? Grace makes people willing. The grace of God. For by nature, we are not willing. Now, someone comes up to you and they say, now, I've done this. Someone comes up and say, like me, I'm downstairs, I see. Would you mind helping us clean up the dining area today? Well, you can always tell a person when they're not willing. They roll their eyes and partner fall over backwards in their chair. They're not willing. You know what a willing person is? Can I help? I help. Use me. A lot of times kids are willing. It says, you know, unless you come as a child, you're not entering into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Kids are always anxious to help. Can I help? Use me. Use me. Can I help? They're willing. They can't do the job, but they're willing. Well, they can't do the job. Well, I want to do it. I want to sweep the floor. I want to clean up. Well, you say, okay, I can clean up, but you don't let mommy put the soap in, huh? Because if you told the kid to clean up, he'd take the whole great big jar of soap and put it in there. See, we don't know exactly how to go about it. And we can't do the job. We need God's help. But if we're willing, God will put the soap in there and he'll show you how much water to put in and he'll show you how to do the job. But he is the one that makes you willing. And why are kids willing? They see their parents do it, and so they want to do it. I see God do something out there, and I want to do what God does. I've been made willing. No, not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. God makes us willing. Hallelujah. Now, you can call me dogmatic if you want to. But it's ours to preach and Christ to prove. You are saved by grace. Now, I don't have to prove that. The Bible says so. You preach it, and you preach the gospel, and you must be born again. And will you go ahead and say this prayer? And they say that prayer. And a lot of people say, well, that don't mean nothing. They said the prayer. They said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And some people say, well, that don't mean nothing. It does mean something. See, God is the one that has to. I say, I ain't going to try to prove that to you. God is the one that authored that word, and he is the one that'll prove it. I don't have to prove it. I just have to do it. See, if you're doing the will of God, a lot of times you're misunderstood. That's too simple. Confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. And then somebody will sit there and they'll say, well, I don't know about that. Well, how were they saved? I am willing to preach that. I'm willing to do it. Are you willing to do that? Well, there'll be a lot of arguments against it, and someone will get that great big track out with this great big hell hole down here with a print on there, repent, say, no, first you have to repent! Well, yeah, that's true. But who makes the person willing? You? By yelling repent at them? Well, them guys was gone. Man, they headed for the nearest bar. They ran out of there as fast as they could. I turned around and I says, you know what? You better repent. You better repent. I said, what's wrong with you? Mad because you can't go in the bar there? Is that what your problem is? What are you so mad about? It's the grace of God that's going to save them, guys, not your goodness and your holiness. Are you willing to give out the Word of God and its simplicity? Are you willing? Because God's people are a willing people. Are you hearing this? I think we leave the argument to Christ. And we can tell that God's children by the way that they're willing. Isn't that right? Wayne's willing. He's willing, aren't you? Well, who made you that way? Who made Wayne willing? Circumstances in your life that God sent your way made you willing, Wayne. Did you ever get bitter about circumstances? Of course you do. But they made you willing. You know there's a lot of people that aren't willing? Well, who made you willing? God did. Now, you people got to know I'm willing. You got to be willing. You got to be willing sometimes when you're in ministry to put up with all of the whatever. You know what I mean? No, that just proves you're willing, doesn't it? Somehow, I mean, I'm not trying to puff up or anything like that. There's no puffing up. God, there's so many people standing around with pins, I don't believe it. Huh? God bless them. Hope they don't stick themselves. How many hearing His Word tonight? God's going to make you willing. And I think this word applies not only to their being willing to be saved, but a willingness to work after they're saved. A willing to do the works of the Father. Hallelujah. Well, what's so important about stirring soup in a soup kitchen? Well, I don't know, but it just thrills the cockles of my heart to smell that bean soup cooking down there. Someone had to be made willing to do it. Right? Somebody had to be made willing to do it. Well, who made him willing to do it? God. Now, I think some people, including preachers, think that they are really doing God a great big favor by coming to church once a week. Well, I go to church once a week. What more do you want out of me? I'm faithful. You'll find me sitting there every once a week. Yep. Well, so what? You aren't willing. You're sitting there meaner than hell itself while you're there. God, when's this thing going to get over with? My God, this guy talks, man, he talks on and on and on forever. Oh, I want out. Oh, God. Ooh, huh? They're not willing. Well, if the Holy Spirit convicts you, Bill, then, you know, go ahead. But I ain't going to talk to you until I'm preaching, see. It's like some people are going to work. They can hardly wait to punch out. See, God's people are willing. Willing to praise God, willing to give money, willing to eat the word. You don't have to force feed people. Huh? Willing to give up their coat, willing to go the second mile. What is the second mile? Well, that's when you're when you go that first mile and you really don't feel like going it, and then you go the second mile. That's when you're willing. Do you squirm when the collection plate comes around? Maybe you're going to squirm right now. Radio audience, I'm going to ask you to send in $1. $1! Radio audience, would you please, each one of you that are listening, search your heart and send in $1 to Disciples Ministry Church Mission, 1000 Oliver Avenue North, zip code 55411. Attention, Pastor Paul, I have been made willing by God to send $1 in. Now you pray about it, see what God says. He might even have you send in more than $1 if you're willing. See what happens. Can't hurt. We're stuck down here on the north side. They don't even dare to fly over in helicopters. They drive through. They lock all their doors. Glue their hubcaps on. I'm telling you, God's church needs assistance. Did you hear that? Assistance. See, Christ people are willing people. Now, see, Bill, I'm talking to the people on the radio there. That has nothing to do with you. Okay, all right, now listen now. And everything that Christ people do, they do it willingly. Willingly. Now, put your hand, move your hand around, radio audience, to the back of your pants. In your case, madam, lift your purse up off the floor, open it up, get into your stingy coin purse there. And you, sir, pull that moth-eaten billfold out, open it up, put $1 in an envelope. Send it to Disciples Ministry Church Mission. No, no. No, no. Don't do this, Bill. Okay, that's $1. Okay. We convicted one man here to give $1. Well, will miracles ever cease? Well, you know what I'm going to do with that dollar bill? I'm going to invest it. I'm going to invest it. I don't know where I'm going to put it yet, but I'm going to invest it. Maybe that's the first of a million that will come in. I don't know. I don't care because, see, I'm willing to do the will of God down here. The only thing we're lacking here is a little bit of help from our... Oh, we'll get by with a little help from our friends. Well, isn't there a song like that? The world even says that. All that Christ people do, they do it willingly because they do a thing for a better thing. They do it because they're willingly wanting to do it. I believe that God loves His people's works and services because they volunteer them. Voluntary workers. They are made willing. I volunteer. I go behind the enemy lines. I volunteer. Remember them old shows they used to have, these old war shows, probably before your time. God, it seems like I'm older than Methuselah himself. But anyway, used to have these old shows, and they had Clark Gable in them, and they had Earl Flynn, and they had all these guys, and these were war shows, and they had these B-29s and B-25s and all these kind of planes and the Flying Tigers and all that. They were going to have this mission, see? And I said, I need some volunteers! And Earl Flynn would step forward, or Clark Gable, or one of those guys, and they had on these airplane caps or the goggles, and they'd step forward. No, Earl, you're not going out this time. You've gone out to too many. And he'd stand back, and he was willing to go. And this other guy stood forward, see? Joe McGurk from Wisconsin, Flatbush, Wisconsin, or something like that, see? And he'd step forward, and we were watching this show, you know, and then they'd go into the room, and he'd be putting on his goggles, and he'd be putting on his hat, and he'd be putting on this great big old, Second World War flight coat and boots and everything, and the guy'd walk in and hit him over the head, Earl Flynn or Clark Gable. They would go up in the airplane. Why did they do it? They were willing. Ooh, see, volunteerism is the essence of the gospel. Voluntarily get into your stingy trousers and send some dough this way and volunteer your help down here. My God. Free men, full of gladness and full of joy, should be willing in the day of his power. After I got smacked in that car, I was made willing to come back down here. Well, let's close with the character of these people. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. They shall be willing in the beauties of holiness. Because holiness has its beauties in its gems and pearls. Clothed in the beauties of holiness. So let's say clothed in what? Imputed righteousness. Clothed in imparted grace. See, we put on Jesus Christ, and then we grow into him. It's kind of like when you go in the service. I remember I weighed 129 pounds when I went in the service. Man, I was so skinny, all you could see was hair and a nose sticking out when I turned sideways. But I was willing. Whew. Now I went through the line, and I went to get my clothes. And they gave me these clothes that were four times too big. I said, man, these are too big. I said, don't worry, you'll grow into them. And I went home on leave, and I think I weighed about 156 pounds or something like that. Gained about 30 pounds. And I came in, and I was sitting there with this big round face. My mother came in, and she didn't recognize me. Mom, it's me! You know what I mean? And it's the same way when we put on Christ. It doesn't fit our character or anything else about us. We have to grow into it. By the way, that's as spiritual as you're going to get, knowing Jesus Christ. He is your spirituality. Oh, I just love so-and-so. She is so spiritual. What does that mean? And I just love, what's his name? He is so spiritual. What does that mean? No, your only spirituality is knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's as spiritual as you're going to get. Okay, let's close it up. Thy people shall be willing to come forward they like this, and they shall be the right sort of people. Well, what's the right sort of people? Willing people. Will he be knowledgeable? No. They won't know nothing about nothing. But they'll be willing. Willing people usually don't know a whole lot. It's when they know a whole lot, they're not willing. Did you know that? The more they know, the more unwilling they are. Because if they knew everything, they wouldn't get into it. If I knew everything was going to happen to me when I got into ministry, I wouldn't have got into ministry. Just happened to me one trial at a time. And before each trial, I was made willing to go through that trial, don't you see? There will be holy people, I believe, arrayed in all the beauties it says of holiness. Okay, we understand this, Pastor Paul, but what does this mean from the womb of mourning? Does it mean from birth? No. It means they will come like dewdrops and they will be gloriously saved. Down here one time, I was ministering in the street. I had the back of this brown van. Remember our brown van we used to take down there for bread? We opened up this thing and it was chuck full of bread. It was, you know, you had to stand back because it would fall out. And so I stepped back and I started ministering to two people, the gospel of Jesus Christ. 35 people come up and heard the gospel and 35 people got saved. Right there on the street. It was the day of God's power. Was it because I was real spiritual? No. So-called real spiritual people a lot of times are sickening. Are you hearing this? No. Suddenly it says in the Bible they will come by the multitude millions. That they will just be thousands and millions of people that are going to come to Christ. They will come mysteriously, the Bible says. And people will wonder why ordinary man can preach and thousands are saved. No educated speaker. No eloquent storyteller. Just a willing servant that's willing to do God's will. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I remember when I first got saved. I could hardly wait to get up and go out. I go out, and every time I went out, I preached the gospel. And I started a circuit. I went all the way west. I was going about 120 miles west. I was preaching 6 and 7 times a week out that way. And I remember I used to take you to church, and the kids said, "Oh, no, Daddy's going to church every night." And I was just willing to get into the Word of God, and I was willing to go out, and I wanted to learn more, and I wanted to go out there, and I was willing to preach. Willing. But who made me willing? God did. Why do you think that I'm here right now? I'm willing. Oh, where do they come from? Well, they have come from the womb of mourning. And who made the dewdrops? I hear someone on the radio say. Barry Savan, the weatherman? No. The president or the king? No. No, God speaks to nature and cries out for morning to come. No thunder, no lightning. It just appears. And that's the way it's going to happen in the end time. Yes. They come from the womb of morning. Divinely called. Millions of births at one time. And another promise Christ made, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Christ has always been youthful. Started out, died youthful, still youthful. And just look at Christianity. It's always young and it's always fresh. Always. Well, I started to ask myself here not too long ago, why is it that people tire of the gospel? If it has the dew of youth. Because many times it's not real to the preacher. The gospel of Jesus Christ is real to me. And the more trials I go through, the more realistic it becomes. And the more willing I am to preach it. It's not history to me. It's a born-again experience that happened to me. Oh, God. You remember that song, "Let the Dew of Heaven"? Oh, yeah. Let the dew of heaven fall upon my thirsting soul. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Oh, blessed Holy Spirit, won't you come and take control. See, it's the Holy Spirit that takes control, isn't it? Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Huh? When that happens in your life, preacher, and the dew of heaven comes and lights down upon your soul, do you know what happens when the dew of heaven... Did you know that when manna fell, it fell in the dew of the morning? It could only fall. On the desert floor was all dew, then the manna came down. And when the Holy Spirit is in my heart, and the Holy Spirit is in your heart, and that's the dew of heaven, the bread of life comes and falls upon that heart, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit has made it ready. No man. No one comes unless it says the Father draws him. Jesus, the bread of life, is falling on that dew, the Holy Spirit in you. And the word that we preach in closing here is Jesus Christ, the bread of life. It always falls on the heart prepared by the Holy Ghost. Did you ever come to church and you've been prepared for a message? Who do you suppose prepared you for that message before you came? Why, the Holy Ghost. Today, I very rarely listen to my broadcast and I turned it on. I was, in fact, going to see if Sunday's message was on there. Did you put Sunday's message, last Sunday's message on the radio? Mick? Oh, yeah. Okay, but see, it was over Thursday, right? So I turned it on. I thought, oh, that's an old tape. So I turned it off because I don't listen to myself. But for some reason, I turned it back on, and it was exactly what I needed to hear. It was an old tape. Something I needed to hear. God had prepared my heart. And the dew of heaven had fallen upon that desert heart there, that desert soul there, that dryness there, and made ready for the word of life, Jesus Christ, the bread of life, to fall on my heart, prepared by the Holy Ghost, the dew of the morning, the womb of the morning. Now, will you eat that bread of life, you listening on the radio, that heavenly manna sent for you, Jesus Christ, right now, today? Well, you can have them. Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou wilt be saved. It's a simple message. Oh, my God, how we complicate the message. How many heard this message tonight? And you know, it's just so true. God is the one that'll make you willing. Don't worry about it. I wonder when God's going to make me willing. He'll make you willing. You got you saved? Did you get saved all by yourself? Did you decide to get saved? No, God made you willing. God will make you willing. Don't fear anything, people. You listening? Don't fear situations. Don't fear people. Don't fear conversation. Don't fear anything. God is the one that's prepared you to do a job. And in the world, they say, come hell or high water, I'll do it. Well, shouldn't Christians have that same attitude? Shouldn't you be willing? You know, God will check out your willingness too. Did you know that? And maybe if you're too willing, you'll be criticized for being too willing. Oh, I don't know if I'd be willing in that instance. I mean, that's going a little too far. No. Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. No. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Are you willing? Well, you know, and God makes you willing, then there's all kinds of things that come in to check out your willingness so you can go the next step higher. I've had a few of them. Oh, God. And, you know, and some of them aren't very popular either. I'm not here for a popularity contest. I'm here to do the will of God. What's that got to do with it anyway? I mean, my God, what's that got to do with doing what? Should we be fearful? Should we say, oh God, will it ever end? No, it will not end. World without end, amen. Sacrifice without end, amen. Well, doesn't the Bible say give your life to gain it? What more can you sacrifice than your life? And by the way, what is your treasure? Your treasure is your life. Now, I pretty near lost mine this week. Is there any other treasure? It's your life. What are you going to do with your treasure that you found in the field? Are you going to invest it in the kingdom of God? Your treasure is your life. Will you give your treasure to God? Will you sell that for the pearl of great price? There's no price on the pearl. Will you give your life that you found in the field of nothingness? Will you give that? Will you sell it? Will you give everything? Your life. What is your life? Oh, my life is this. My life is my home. And my life is my car. And my life is my this and my that. And my life is my... Will you give it? How much of your life will you give? How much are you willing to give of your life? And sometimes when you get willing to give things, you threaten people. You become a threat to them. And they say, my God, well, this guy is going to, or this woman, or this guy is going to start something. They're too willing. Now, what if other people grab a hold of this and they get fanatical and they really get willing to do the will of God? Oh, this could start, this could really start something. Well, let's pray to God it does start something. Hallelujah. Let's pray to God it does start something, that people will finally and forever get willing to do the will of God. And if nothing else, say, pray, God, make me willing. Give me that spirit of willingness. Now, you get like that, and, you know, you're going to have friends leaving you. Oh, this. How many, when you first got saved, had friends leave you? We came over and I told him, I says, oh, I just got saved. Well, what does that mean? What did you get saved from? Did you have a car accident or what? No, I got saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And they did that, one of these looks like, what? Don't worry about getting rid of your friends. They'll get rid of you. They never invited me to any more parties, which I didn't go to anyway after I got saved. They didn't even call me on the phone. It's like I had triple smallpox or something. They didn't want nothing to do with me. How many are hearing this? They didn't want one single solitary thing to do with me. And since that I became more willing in my ministry, you just find a whole lot of people. You know, if you're willing to do the will of God, you don't get into hyper faith. You don't get into this hyper faith teaching, you know. You don't get into this prosperity teaching. Because when you're doing the will of God, like Jesus Christ, God did, he didn't have a place to lay his head. See? And you're going to be called all manner of names. If they call me those names, why aren't they going to call you? Are you better than your master? Well, there you are. There you have it. Are you willing? Well, the only way you'll be made willing is God make you willing. God will make you that way. And oh, how great it is when God makes you willing, because then you really feel good. You don't have to worry about being willing. You're just made that way. You're made into the image of Christ every day as you die to yourself every day. It hasn't got nothing to do with legalism or how good we are, how righteous we are, what we do or what we don't do. It says that God does a work in us. And all of a sudden, it's done. Is there anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior?